And now chapter 13 of the Antya Leela, Pastimes with Jagadananda Pandit and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Let me take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Gaudachandra. His mind became exhausted and his body very thin from the pain of separation from Krishna. But when he felt ecstatic love for the Lord, he again became fully developed. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaitacharya. And all glories to the devotees of the Lord. In the company of Jagadananda Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would taste various transcendental relationships of pure love. The unhappiness of separation from Krishna exhausted the Lord's mind and reduced the structure of his body. But when he felt emotions of ecstatic love, he again became developed and healthy. Because he was very thin, when he lay down to rest on the dry bark of plantain trees, it caused him pain in his bones. All the devotees felt very unhappy to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in pain. Indeed, they could not tolerate it. Then Jagadananda Pandit devised a remedy. He acquired some fine cloth and colored it with red oxide. Then he filled it with cotton from a shimula tree. In this way, he made a quilt and a pillow, which he then gave to Govinda, saying, "Ask the Lord to lie on this." Jagadananda said to Swarup Damodar Goswami, "Today, please personally persuade Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to lie down on the bed." When it was time for the Lord to go to bed, Swarup Damodar stayed nearby. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the quilt and pillow, he was immediately very angry. The Lord inquired from Govinda, "Who has made this?" When Govinda named Jagadananda Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhat fearful. After asking Govinda to put aside the quilt and pillow, the Lord lay down on the dry plantain bark. Swarup Damodar said to the Lord, "I cannot contradict your supreme will, my Lord, but if you do not accept the bedding, Jagadananda, he will feel very great unhappiness." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Oh yes, you should bring a bedstead here for me to lie on. Jagadananda wants me to enjoy material happiness. I am in the renounced order, and therefore I must lie on the floor. For me to use a bedstead, quilt, or pillow would be very shameful." When Swarup Damodar returned and related all these incidents, Jagadananda Pandit felt very unhappy. Then Swarup Damodar Goswami devised another method. First, he secured a large quantity of dry banana leaves. He then tore the leaves into very fine fibers with his nails and filled two of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's outer garments with the fibers. In this way, Swarup Damodar made some bedding and a pillow, and after much endeavor by the devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted them. Everyone was happy to see the Lord lie down on that bed, but Jagadananda was inwardly angry, and externally he appeared very unhappy. Formerly, when Jagadananda Pandit had desired to go to Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not given his permission, and therefore he could not go. Now, concealing his anger and unhappiness, Jagadananda Pandit again asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for permission to go to Mathura. With great affection, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "If you are angry with me when you go to Mathura, you will merely become a beggar and criticize me." Grasping the Lord's feet, Jagadananda Pandit then said, "For a long time, I have desired to go to Vrindavan. I could not go without your lordship's permission. Now you must give me permission, and I shall certainly go there." Because of affection for Jagadananda Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not permit him to depart, but Jagadananda Pandit repeatedly insisted that the Lord give him permission to go. He then submitted a plea to Swarup Damodar Goswami, saying, "For a long time I have wanted to go to Vrindavan. I cannot go there, however, without the Lord's permission, which at present he denies me. He says, 'You are going because you are angry at me.' Naturally, I have a desire to go to Vrindavan. Therefore, please humbly request him to grant his permission." Thereafter, Swarup Damodar Goswami submitted this appeal at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "Jagadananda Pandit intensely desires to go to Vrindavan. He begs for your permission again and again. Therefore, please permit him to go to Mathura and then return. You permitted him to go see Mother Shachi in Bengal, and you may similarly permit him to go to see Vrindavan and then return here." At the request of Swarup Damodar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted Jagadananda Pandit permission to go. The Lord sent for him and instructed him as follows: "You may go as far as Varanasi without encountering disturbances, but beyond Varanasi, you should be very careful to travel on the path in the company of the Kshatriyas. As soon as the plunder is on the road, see a Bengali traveling alone. They take everything from him, arrest him, and do not let him go. When you reach Mathura, you should remain with Sanatan Goswami and offer respectful obeisances to the feet of all the leading men there. Do not mix freely with the residents of Mathura. Show them respect from a distance. Because you are on a different platform of devotional service, you cannot adapt their behavior and practices. Visit all 12 forests of Vrindavan in the company of Sanatan Goswami. Do not leave his association for even a moment. You should remain in Vrindavan for only a short time and then return here as soon as possible. Also, do not climb Govardhan Hill to see the Gopal deity. Inform Sanatan Goswami that I am coming to Vrindavan for a second time and that he should therefore arrange a place for me to stay." After saying this, the Lord embraced Jagadananda Pandit, who then worshipped the Lord's lotus feet and started for Vrindavan. He took permission from all the devotees and then departed. Traveling on the forest path, he soon reached Varanasi. When he met Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar in Varanasi, they both heard from him about topics concerning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Finally, Jagadananda Pandit reached Mathura, where he met Sanatan Goswami. They were very pleased to see each other. After Sanatan Goswami had taken Jagadananda to see all 12 forests of Vrindavan, concluding with Mahavan, they both remained in Gokul. They stayed in Sanatan Goswami's cave, but Jagadananda Pandit would go cook for himself at a nearby temple. Sanatan Goswami would beg alms from door to door in the vicinity of Mahavan. Sometimes he would go to a temple and sometimes to a Brahmin's house. Sanatan Goswami attended to all of Jagadananda Pandit's needs. He begged in the area of Mahavan and brought Jagadananda all kinds of things to eat and drink. One day, Jagadananda Pandit, having invited Sanatan to the nearby temple for lunch, finished his routine duties and began to cook. Previously, a great sannyasi named Mukunda Sarasvati had given Sanatan Goswami an outer garment. Sanatan Goswami was wearing this cloth bound about his head when he came to Jagadananda Pandit's door and sat down. Assuming the reddish cloth to be a gift from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagadananda Pandit was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Thus he questioned Sanatan Goswami, "Where did you get that reddish cloth on your head?" Sanatan Goswami replied, "Mukunda Sarasvati gave it to me." Hearing this, Jagadananda Pandit was immediately very angry and took a cooking pot in his hand, intending to beat Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, however, knew Jagadananda Pandit very well and was consequently somewhat ashamed. Jagadananda, therefore, left the cooking pot on the stove and spoke as follows, "You are one of the chief associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, no one is dearer to him than you. Still, you have bound your head with a cloth given to you by another sannyasi. Who can tolerate such behavior?" Sanatan Goswami said, "My dear Jagadananda Pandit, you are a greatly learned saint. No one is dearer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than you. This faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fits you quite well. Unless you demonstrate it, how could I learn such faith? My purpose in binding my head with the cloth has now been fulfilled because I have personally seen your uncommon love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This saffron cloth is unfit for a Vaishnava to wear. Therefore, I have no use for it. I shall give it to a stranger. When Jagadananda Pandit finished cooking, he offered the food to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he and Sanatan Goswami sat down and ate the prasad. After eating the prasad, they embraced each other and cried due to separation from Lord Chaitanya. They passed 2 months in Vrindavan in this way. Finally, they could no longer tolerate the unhappiness of separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagadananda Pandit therefore gave Sanatan Goswami the message from the Lord, saying, "I am also coming to Vrindavan. Please arrange a place for me to stay." When Sanatan Goswami granted permission for Jagadananda to return to Jagannath Puri, he gave Jagadananda some gifts for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The gifts consisted of some sand from the site of the Ras Lila, a stone from Govardhan Hill, dry ripened pilu fruits, and a garland of small conch shells. Thus Jagadananda Pandit, bearing all these gifts, started on his journey. Sanatan Goswami, however, was very agitated after bidding him farewell. Soon afterward, Sanatan Goswami selected a place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could stay while in Vrindavan. It was a temple in the highlands named Vadashaditya Tila. Sanatan Goswami kept the temple very clean and in good repair. In front of it, he erected a small hut. Meanwhile, traveling very quickly, Jagadananda Pandit soon arrived in Jagannath Puri, much to the joy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. After offering prayers at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagadananda Pandit greeted everyone. Then the Lord embraced Jagadananda very strongly. Jagadananda Pandit also offered obeisances to the Lord on behalf of Sanatan Goswami. Then he gave the Lord the dust from the site of the Ras dance and the other gifts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept all the gifts except the pilu fruits, which he distributed to the devotees. Because the fruits were from Vrindavan, everyone ate them with great happiness. Those devotees who were familiar with pilu fruits sucked on the seeds, but the Bengali devotees who did not know what they were chewed the seeds and swallowed them. The hot chili-like taste burned the tongues of those who chewed the seeds. The eating of pilu fruits from Vrindavan was a pastime for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Jagadananda Pandit returned from Vrindavan, everyone was jubilant. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed his pastimes while residing at Jagannath Puri. One day, when the Lord was going to the temple of Yameshwar, a female singer began to sing in the Jagannath temple. She sang a Gujari tune in a very sweet voice, and because the subject was Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govind, the song attracted the attention of the entire world. Hearing the song from a distance, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately became ecstatic. He did not know whether it was a man or a woman singing. As the Lord ran in ecstasy to meet the singer, thorny hedges pricked his body. Govinda ran very quickly behind the Lord, who did not feel any pain from the pricking of the thorns. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running very rapidly, and the girl was only a short distance away. Just then, Govinda caught the Lord in his arms and cried, "It is a woman singing!" As soon as he heard the word woman, the Lord became externally conscious and turned back. He said, My dear Govinda, you have saved my life. If I had touched the body of a woman, I would certainly have died. I shall never be able to repay my debt to you." Govinda replied, "Lord Jagannath has saved you. I am insignificant." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "My dear Govinda, you should stay with me always. There is danger anywhere and everywhere. Therefore, you should protect me very carefully." After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned home. When Swarup Goswami and his other attendants heard about the incident, they were very afraid. During this time, Raghunath Bhattacharya, the son of Tapan Mishra, gave up all his duties and left home, intending to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Accompanied by one servant carrying his baggage, Raghunath Bhatta started from Varanasi and traveled along the path leading through Bengal. In Bengal, he met Ramdas Vishvas, who belonged to the Kayasta caste. He was one of the king's secretaries. Ramdas Vishvas was very learned in all the revealed scriptures. He was a teacher of the famous book, Kavya Prakash, and was known as an advanced devotee and worshipper of Raghunath or Lord Ramachandra. Ramdas had renounced everything and was going to see Lord Jagannath. While traveling, he chanted the holy name of Lord Ram 24 hours a day. When he met Raghunath Bhatta on the way, he took Raghunath's baggage on his head and carried it. Ramdas served Raghunath Bhatta in various ways, even massaging his legs. Raghunath Bhatta felt some hesitation in accepting all this service. He said, "You are a respectable gentleman, a learned scholar, and a great devotee. Please do not try to serve me. Just come with me in a happy mood." Ramdas replied, "I am a Sudra, a fallen soul. To serve a Brahmin is my duty and a religious principle. Therefore, please do not be hesitant. I am your servant, and when I serve you, my heart becomes jubilant." Thus Ramdas carried the baggage of Raghunath Bhatta and served him sincerely. He constantly chanted the holy name of Lord Ramchandra day and night. Traveling in this way, Raghunath Bhatta soon arrived at Jagannath Puri. There, with great delight, he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fell at his lotus feet. Raghunath Bhatta fell straight as a rod at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the Lord embraced him, knowing well who he was. Raghunath offered respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on behalf of Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar, and the Lord also inquired about them. He said, "It is very good that you have come here. Now go see the lotus-eyed Lord Jagannath. Today you will accept prasad here at my place." The Lord asked Govinda to arrange for Raghunath Bhatta's accommodations and then introduced him to all the devotees headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami. Thus, Raghunath Bhatta lived with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continuously for 8 months. And by the Lord's mercy, he felt increased transcendental happiness every day. He would periodically cook rice with various vegetables and invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. Raghunath Bhatta was an expert cook. Whatever he prepared tasted just like nectar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would accept with great satisfaction all the food he prepared. After the Lord was satisfied, Raghunath Bhatta would eat his remnants. When Ramdas Vishvas met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord did not show him any special mercy, although this was their first meeting. Within his heart, Ramdas Vishvas was an impersonalist who desired to merge into the existence of the Lord, and he was very proud of his learning. Being the omniscient supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand the heart of everyone, and thus he knew all these things. Ramdas Vishvas then took up residence in Jagannath Puri and taught the Kavya Prakash to the Pattanayaka family, or the descendants of Bhavananda Rai. After 8 months, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Raghunath Bhatta, the Lord flatly forbade him to marry. He said, "Do not marry." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Raghunath Bhatta, "When you return home, serve your aged father and mother, who are devotees, and try to study Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure Vaishnav who has realized God." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded, "Come again to Neelachal." After saying this, the Lord put his own neck beads on Raghunath Bhatta's neck. Then the Lord embraced him and bade him farewell. Overwhelmed with ecstatic love, Bhatta began to cry due to imminent separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After taking permission from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees, headed by Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Bhatta returned to Varanasi. In accordance with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he continuously rendered service to his mother and father for 4 years. He also regularly studied the Srimad Bhagavatam from a self-realized Vaishnav. Then his parents died at Kashi, and he became detached. He therefore returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, giving up all relationships with his home. As previously, Raghunath remained continuously with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 8 months. Then the Lord gave him the following order. My dear Raghunath, go to Vrindavan, following my instructions, and place yourself under the care of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. In Vrindavan, you should chant the Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day and read Srimad Bhagavatam continuously. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will very soon bestow his mercy upon you. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Raghunath Bhatta, and by the Lord's mercy, Raghunath was enlivened with ecstatic love for Krishna. At a festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been given some unspiced betel and a garland of tulsi leaves 14 cubits long. The garland had been worn by Lord Jagannath. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the garland and betel to Raghunath Bhatta, who accepted them as a worshipable deity, preserving them very carefully. Taking permission from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Bhatta then departed for Vrindavan. When he arrived there, he put himself under the care of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. When reciting Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatta would be overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he experienced the symptoms of ecstatic love, tears, trembling, and faltering of the voice. His eyes filled with tears, his throat became choked, and thus he could not recite Srimad Bhagavatam. His voice was as sweet as a cuckoo's, and he would recite each verse of Srimad Bhagavatam in 3 or 4 tunes. Thus his recitations were very sweet to hear. When he recited or heard about the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, he would be overwhelmed with ecstatic love and would become oblivious to everything. Thus Raghunath Bhatta surrendered fully at the lotus feet of Lord Govinda, and those lotus feet became his life and soul. Subsequently, Raghunath Bhatta ordered his disciples to construct a temple for Govinda. He prepared various ornaments for Govinda, including a flute and earrings shaped like sharks. Raghunath Bhatta would neither hear nor speak about anything of the material world. He would simply discuss Krishna and worship the Lord day and night. He would not listen to blasphemy of a Vaishnav, nor would he listen to talk of a Vaishnav's misbehavior. He knew only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. He did not understand anything else. When Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was absorbed in remembrance of Lord Krishna, he would take the tulsi garland and the prasad of Lord Jagannath, given to him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bind them together and wear them on his neck. Thus I have described the powerful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by which Raghunath Bhatta Goswami remained constantly overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna. In this chapter, I have spoken about 3 topics: Jagadananda Pandit's visit to Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's listening to the song of the Devadasi at the temple of Jagannath, and how Raghunath Bhatta Goswami achieved ecstatic love of Krishna by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestows ecstatic love for Krishna upon anyone who hears all these topics with faith and love. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrates Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends chapter 13 of the Antya Leela, Pastimes with Jagadananda and Raghunath Bhatta.